Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch podcast. I, of course, am G Money, broadcasting here from the amazing Hawaii Comic Con, here with yet another bunch of creative cats. We've talked to quite a few local creative people, and we've got not only another creator, but also an owner of a comic book shop, and co-owners, I should say, Brian Ravel and Mike Sato in the house. Thank you, thank you guys so much for coming and being on the show. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right, well, appreciate it. Before we get into the business of comic books, let's talk about the art. Brian, you're a comic book artist and got into the business of comic books, of being a store owner. So let's get into your book first. It's called We Kill the Dead. It's through the Bloodshed Publishing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book?
So it's pretty awesome. Basically, famous horror writer John Leper contracted me because he's seen a lot of my work that I've done in various projects via Facebook. And I do all the artwork. There's a lot of celebrity cameos in there, all studio approved. So it's really fun.
Is that why the guy on the first page looks like Carl Urban?
there's horror characters in there. There's, you know, really cool stuff in there. There's some really epic horror. If you're a B horror movie fan type of thing, you know, they got Gutterball in there.
Crazy.
Got Hatchet Face. I mean, it's really fun to draw. Illustrating it was a blast. Definitely fun, but harder with the cameos because you really got to get them accurate.
Now, look, I was looking at the book. You have a very, you'd say, a unique art style. How is that? It's colorful but yet dark. It's a little grungy. How do you do that? And it looks almost real. Like it's got that movie with. What is that? Scanner Darkly has kind of, at least for me, when I look at it, has kind of like an overlay of that. It's really cool.
So my stuff, I do. I'm kind of old school. I like pen and paper. I hand draw, then I ink it in, then I go over with a series of watercolor and gray tones and everything. Then I overlay color on top of that all by hand.
Wow!
And then I actually scan it in and digitally do lighting, hues, and effects. So it gets a really realistic, but still got that comic book movie feel, almost like movie poster feel.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, it's all hand art. You know, that's why I love it. A little bit more time consuming, I'll be honest with you, versus doing just penciling and having an inker come in and then scanning it in and coloring it, you know, digitally. I do it all myself. All I had was some help with lettering because I suck at lettering. I'm not just going to keep it real.
Hey, that's like, very smart, man.
Yeah. So, the end effect is something very movie poster-like, very realistic. You know, you really get the feel for the characters.
I see this is issue 1 of 4, so we got 3 more coming.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We'll see where it goes from there.
Wow. How long has this one been out, the first one?
This one just debuted here. This is the first convention.
Awesome.
They literally drop-shipped it from New York to here. Overnight, which costed us a fortune.
I'm sure
I should say my publisher was like, please sell them all.
Now, since it's exclusively here at Hawaii Comic Con, and since we can hear this after the con, we can hear this podcast after the con, where can we get the book?
Oh, it'd definitely be from bloodshed.com. They have an online store through Big Cartel. Enjoy Comics, for sure, in Hilo. We're also going to try and get some out to Maui and Oahu, Other Realms, Dragon, wherever they'll have us. But it's a really awesome, especially for our
Maui
fans.
Would be very proud to have you guys.
Yeah, and that's our awesome. Homie at Maui Comics.
Wow. Yeah. So is this your first book, or how many books have you done?
No, this is actually my second published series. My first is called The Unseen. Okay. It's a battle between heaven and hell for the end of days. Real Revelations feel. First book was a 100-page graphic novel, illustrated. Actually hit bestsellers for a while. Did really good. Some celebrities, Rod Roddenberry has it on his Facebook. You know, a bunch of other people really enjoyed it because it was a deep first part of the story. I actually have written 12. The second drops next month. So The Unseen, too, is called Darkness Rising. It's a really epic series where the angels and demons are actual characters. Heaven and hell are real places and everything that goes on behind the scenes of the veil in the human world. But it takes place in actual human, our Earth, in the near future.
Wow.
So it's pretty deep, it's pretty dark, it's pretty grimy, you know, but the characters are all based on real people or real situations, so you can really identify with them.
So I take it you enjoy this comic book stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I
enjoy comics.
Yep, enjoy comics. That's right. Shout out there. That's why we named it that. We're very into marketing.
Absolutely. Now, that actually bleeds into where Mike comes in.
Yep.
Not only have you committed to drawing them, you've committed to the business of comic books.
Simple. We haven't had a comic book store in Hilo for a long time. I could not stand it. Me and Mike were like, it can't happen. We got to have a store. And nobody was doing it. So we're like, you know what? We'll do it. We'll be the guys that step out in faith, and hopefully the geeks unite, you know. And we did. We opened it up.
So, Mike, for you, what was it? Was it your love of comics? Was it your love of being a free market capitalist? You'd like to make some money, which I am totally okay with. What was it for you? Is it the love of the business?
For me, man, I started collecting comics when I was 9 years old.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I'm 40 years collecting. I did it as a business for almost 30 now.
Wow.
In some form or another. Matter of fact, I'm originally from Maui, so I started at the old Kahului swap meet back in the day.
Wow.
Moved over to the Big Island in Kona, had my first shop, ran from 89 to 99. You know, the industry was going through some rough spots with a lot of overproduction, which almost took out the industry. But my love of comics never stopped. So even though I shut my first shop down after 10 years, I was still, you know, into the collecting.
Right.
Love collecting. eBay came along. I had a pretty massive collection, so I needed to do something with it. Started selling off some of my extra stuff, and you know, so I've always stayed in it all these years in some form or another, you know.
Right.
2004, I really got back into the collecting because Marvel came launched out with the new Heroic Age and Heroes Reborn reboots and stuff like that. Brought us modern. Started doing shows a few years ago. And I thought it was ironic because doing shows, I met more people collecting people from the Big Island at the shows up here in Honolulu than I ever met living in Hilo on the Big Island.
Right.
Because there was no place for these people to meet.
Right.
So for me, it's definitely the love. I got 40 years of knowledge that's only useful in one area, pretty much.
I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a total comic geek. I can sit and talk comics for hours. I just love it. You know, it's kind of ironic. People knock the comic books, but when I was in school, I hated school. I learned how to read from comic books.
Yeah, okay? A lot of us did.
So I tell parents out there, don't knock it. If the kids are reading, they're reading. They're getting smarter. They're learning.
Yeah.
Okay. And kind of ironic, I just graduated with my master's like a week ago. So
fantastic.
If it wasn't for comics, I probably wouldn't have made my master's.
Wouldn't have finished high school.
I owe it all to comic books. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now, with the comic book, business, of course, I work with Alika a lot. We do our podcast for Maui Comics and Collectibles. This is not an easy business to get into. This is one of those things where you do have to have a love for the content.
Absolutely.
So for you guys, and also what's great is that the I guess you could say the one great thing, even though the struggles of being a comic book, having a comic book shop is that it's a gathering place for people.
Absolutely.
You know, and is that the case in with you guys in Enjoy Comics?
Absolutely, bro. We like my partner says all the time, we encourage loitering. We got a couch that
we
literally
have a couch.
We've
very
had customers
comfy.
Fall asleep at.
It's very comfy
because it's so comfortable. We
top
got a coffee
line.
Table. We got readers all over the place. We encourage it because we want collectors to have a place to come, hang out, and just enjoy being a geek, man. It's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Enjoy Comics. Where did the name come from?
Oh, that's actually Hoy Comic Book Alliance. Uh-huh. Sam Campos. Uh-huh. We kind of formed all the creators a group, and it was all about enjoying comics.
Right.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. We love you, bro. And then we kind of ripped it off, you know, legally from Coca-Cola. You know, I found out the font is we have a copyright, by the way.
It's an homage.
Yeah, yeah. The font is actually not owned by
it
them.
It is not a ripoff of Coca-Cola's logo. It's not.
It's an homage.
It is. Yeah, it's an homage.
But psychologically, we love the fact that it reminds everybody of the classic. And actually, that's kind of a, ties into where we are, because comics, you know, the classic comic book look, the old style feel, you know, that's where it all came back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely. From, so. Now, being it must be encouraging for you that the comic book industry is still on this, basically this rocket ship ride that it's been on because
absolutely.
Of the movies. And because what I do like, what I what I've always said is that this new iteration of film has really gotten kids interested in reading comics again.
Yeah.
And do you guys have the same issues with you? I mean, do you see that same issue happening?
Oh, absolutely.
People are getting, new people are being reintroduced.
Yeah.
The older guys that used to are coming back to read again.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of times my knowledge and stuff helps, because I can give them history. You know, most of them are, they see what they think, but they don't realize that there's histories all the way back to the 60s when these characters were created by the greats, like, you know, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee and,
right.
and all the legends that we, like, go, oh, my God, today! Like,
right,
you know,
right.
like, it's
absolutely.
Amazing.
Well, Chris Claremont, who's here
exactly.
at the
Exactly,
right?
Jim Lee, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
These guys are legendary, you know. But there's a whole history behind what's going on the films.
Right.
You know, and there's is an endless amount of stories out there that we're glad to see that they're bringing forward to the big screen. And you know, when I was younger, you know, I'm showing my age, but I never imagined that the special effects and everything like that in the cinema today would bring any of my comic book characters, my heroes, to life.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
Do it any justice.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And I think that what's so funny is that you guys bring that up. That's the one great thing now, because what we used to get before, I could say what we were getting before until we got Superman in 77, I believe, was everything was real. It was real comic book. It was kind of jokey. No one ever took it seriously. And now it seems as if we're getting back to the fact that and comic books aren't serious. They're supposed to be fun, but they're taking those characters and not making them a joke anymore. Once you start making money with them, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know what? I gotta just interject there, because people don't realize that actually comics have been tackling serious issues before any mainstream media.
I agreed, because that's where from Denny O'Neill and Adams I learned about
absolutely.
Drugs.
Exactly. The famous Green Lantern, Green Arrow series with Speedy on heroin.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
that was groundbreaking for its time. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
The entire X-Men series is about prejudice and how people who are different being persecuted and treated differently.
Racial issues, interracial issues way before
way back.
Was.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So while on the surface it seems like a lot of fun, but underneath it, man, there was a lot of cool, you know, stuff going on.
Sure.
And I think, honestly, I think that's the key. I think the reason why geeks are so accepting of so many different people and so many different types is because we were that. There was back in the day, man, it wasn't cool to collect comics. It wasn't cool to be into these superheroes and stuff like
all.
That.
Not at all.
And so, like, our generation now, it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that want to be us.
No, they do. It's really crazy. You know what's funny? We were, not to name drop here, but I was, we were interviewing
name
Joe.
Name drop, dude. Just
we
name
were,
drop.
We were interviewing Joe Rubin, Rubenstein.
He's a legend.
Absolute
legend.
Legend.
And he's a great guy on top of that.
He is. He's a fantastic guy. You know what's something funny? And this is, it kind of ruined my illusion, but we were talking about the Denny, that was always my example. The Denny O'Neill books with Speedy and with Green Lantern, Green Arrow were a big influence on me. He said, you know, that's really nice, but don't, he said, it's more, for them, they said it was more drug entertainment. So I was like, Joe, you're hitting me where it hurts, man.
He's jaded, but he's a genius. I don't know if you guys know, but that man is like, he still holds the Guinness Book of World Records for more comics worked on than anybody else in the industry.
Yes.
He's such a talented guy.
Yeah.
Man.
We had a podcast with him on the Nerd Watch. I encourage you guys to listen to it. He gave us some amazing stories about Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and Will Eisner, all of these legends that he's actually worked with.
The inside juicy scoops.
Oh yeah, man, it's insane. I never, you know, you never know until you meet them how And he was so willing to give us those stories. It just felt like I was right, sitting right there while he was doing it. It was amazing. But anyway, I thought it was really good. Getting back to Enjoy Comics, where can we find you guys? Can we find you guys online? Can we find you guys? Where can we find you?
So, yes, we have a website. It's enjoycomicshelo.com. Real simple. It's a fun website. I designed it myself. A lot of animation, superhero stuff.
Can we get your comic on there as well?
It will be available. Probably, we're not going to do an online store just because of the overwhelming.
Gotcha.
You know, but and we're in Hilo, located right on the Pulaku streets, right behind Walmart, across from Sears. We also have a Facebook page, a Twitter, Instagram.
We love to post everything on Facebook. So Facebook us. You can keep track of everything that's going on with Enjoy Comics. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Right. We also represent and we started a nonprofit called L-C.com. It's literacythroughcomics.com. We're just getting it up and running. We're working on it. We're going trying to get into schools, working with the libraries, trying to get comics out there. And I also teach a course called Creating Comics, getting it in the schools, doing it at studios locally, getting kids into creation, being creative, writing, illustrating, whatever it is, really encouraging them that. The reading part of it.
Yeah, that's really, really, really important.
Agreed.
You know, I play video games. I don't knock video games. But, man, it just seems that creativity has gone down over the years in our country.
For sure.
And a lot of it, I think, is because of the lack of recreational reading that's happening with the kids.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, I firmly believe that from recreational reading, your imagination is stimulated. From that imagination comes creativity. From that creativity comes invention and innovation.
Right.
Without that, we just consume. We don't create.
I could not agree more. It's one of the reasons. It's one of the main reasons I started this show, because once again I found myself. I'm an older guy. I consume more than I was creating. So I figured you might as well give me an outlet to create, because I love to do this stuff.
Great.
And you're absolutely right, because you know what I think a lot of people take for granted. I'm old enough to know that my dad was the guy who bought me my first comic book. That had a real influence on me.
Man.
You know, and he was willing to say, "Read it." And I never, you know, and that was something as a young kid you're never really interested in. But then when you discover these amazing characters, you want to do nothing but read them. Yeah, there's pictures in it, and there's wonderful illustrations in it. But you know what? It's not just about that. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate you saying that, because Literacy Through Comics is an amazing, amazing nonprofit for you guys who have started. Fantastic. I've always encouraged parents when I've been on the radio for a long time. I've always encouraged parents to let their kids read comics. It gives them something to read. They'll be more interested.
Yep.
And
absolutely,
so,
man.
I could not agree more. Now, last question. Mm-hmm. Since you guys are in the business of comic books, it's not easy, like I said earlier, but is there a way to lean on other local comic book retailers? You know, because, you know, because essentially it's not like we have a branded comic book store anywhere. Every comic book store is
independent. Yep.
So especially here in the islands and as small as we are, say like Alika. You guys, as far as the business goes, is it something that you guys can turn to each other and go, hey, listen, having a problem here, you know, is there something, you know, how do you guys fixing or taking care of it, you know?
I like to think so. I've reached out to Alika personally several times.
I gotten some good advice from him. He's owned a store before all this, you know, so anybody who's even owned a store before, I take any advice, because this is my first time doing it. I've only been open a year, so Mike's dropped some knowledge on me before.
Right.
And just knowledge-wise, but actually, since we've met, now we can hook up, you know, logistics-wise, comics, we can start getting the flow going back and forth, because some stuff sells in Maui that's not going to sell on Big Island, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
He's got his crowd, and I got my crowd, so it's...
Right.
And for me, you know, like I said, I got 40 years of knowledge that's only useful in one area. If I can use it to expand and help others, you know, like, bro, this is Hawaii, bro, we're a small, close-knit community.
Yep.
Everybody in the business knows everybody.
Everybody does.
So it's like I can't see, like, trying to cut throat and be at each other and stuff like
There's
that.
There's no competition here.
It's about harmony, you know what I mean? It's about
Geeks Unite.
Promoting you know, the more people who are into it, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely want to do events as often as possible, work together with all the local stores. We just like Geeks Unite. Seriously, we don't want no competition. We want to be friends. We want to hang out together. We want to do, if we got a good talent there, we want to share it. Seriously.
And that's exactly our philosophy, too. Is like, yeah. And that's why I was talking. I write in my guide about it one of the first years we opened the store. The wasteland of comics became like roving packs of collectors devouring each other. And whoever had the best, most awesome comic, they were in charge.
Yeah.
And the store democratizes that. It makes it a safe place for everybody to come, show what they got. Doesn't matter what it is.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You can be proud of what you got. You want to trade with people. And like it kind of evens the playing field and lets everybody have a chance to get what they want, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be proud of their collection, man. It doesn't matter if you got thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars, bro. You know, collecting is very personal.
Yeah.
It's a personal thing, dude. Yep. It's all about what you enjoy.
A lot of my favorites are independent. They're not worth much. Yeah. But I love them. I love them. Mike knows that. I have a couple books here and there that got some value, but my favorite ones are independents that nobody's heard of.
Yeah. And over the years, man, I've had a whole bunch of different books come through my hands. Amazing books worth big dollars today. But you know what? My collection now consists of a lot more personal things, stuff
sure.
that I've gotten directly, like autographs and just weird off the wall stuff. So it's become a real personal thing. It's more mementos and has personal meaning to me versus actual dollar value.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So to me, I tell everybody, you know, and in the business, we run into the speculators,
right?
You know, like banking on what's going to be hot down the line and stuff like that.
For sure.
I tell them, dude, if you're in it for speculation, you're in the wrong thing. You need to get in it for the enjoyment of comics, and if your stuff becomes valuable down the line, then you lucked out.
And you know, Mike, I preach the same thing. I'm sure me and G have had this conversation before. It's the love of comics that drives the value.
Yeah.
If they're not
absolutely,
sentimental
bro.
Towards it, there's no value there. Yeah. If you didn't love the X-Men number one's worth nothing. It doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Right.
And so these people who are getting into it just on the sheer money value, it's like, who are you? Why do, like they come in because they have the big dollar books because it's money to them.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm as friendly as I can to everybody, but when the people who overinflate prices and are just going for the money, you can see it a mile away, and you're just like, come on,
exactly.
we love this stuff.
Yeah.
And partially all the speculation is what puts it out of reach of the people who really want to have it. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah,
we really
for
appreciate
us, bro.
It. You guys can check them out, Enjoy Comics, in Hilo, yes?
In Hilo.
You
That's
guys
right.
are on Facebook at Enjoy Comics.
That's
yes?
correct. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Mike, Brian, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
And
bro.
Hopefully we can get our hands on this book, We Kill the Dead, pretty soon, I hope.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Definitely going to try and make that happen.
And make it happen on Maui, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's for sure.
Fantastic. So check it out. We Kill the Dead. You can get it through, what is it, bloodshedpublishing.com?
Bloodshedpublishing.com.
It is issue one. We got three more coming, courtesy of Brian Revelle. You can check him out on Facebook as well. Thank you guys once again so much for being here. We really do appreciate it. And supporting the comic book industry and the love of comics that we've known way before Comic-Cons were even a thing.
Exactly.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we got more interviews coming up very shortly here on our exclusive NerdWatch Amazing Hawaii Comic-Con edition. So stay tuned. We'll see you guys very shortly. Aloha.